We're studying from Solomon his answers to some of life's great questions. And I want you to look again tonight at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. He has been through the process that he went through in life, searching for the real meaning of life. And in verse 13, he comes to his conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Well, Solomon, what is it? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14. Why is this the conclusion that all of us need to arrive at? For God will bring into judgment every work with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so sometimes we ask that question, tell us about the judgment. What is the judgment day going to be like? And I want you to turn with me tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to share with you tonight what I believe is one of the most powerful passages in all of the Bible. It has the power to change the direction and course of a church's life. It has the power to change the direction and course of an individual's life. It has changed my life, and I hope tonight that it will change your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to begin reading at verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident. Now, I'm just going to pause and ask right now, are you a confident Christian? Do you always have confidence? If you were to die right now, would you have the confidence that heaven is your home? Do you know tonight that you are saved? Well, let's continue reading. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Verse 11 sums up the way I try to preach. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Three ideas that I want to share with you tonight about judgment, taken from our text tonight, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. The first thing I want you to notice tonight are the people about whom we're speaking. Who is going to be judged? Who are the people under consideration in this passage? Look back at verse 10. He says, we must A-L-L. Is the word all in your Bible? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Sometimes we sing that great song. There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by. And ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul says that when that great day comes, we must A-L-L, all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Let me tell you who I see in that picture. Brother Don and Sister Anna, I see you. Brother Jerry, I see you. Brother Jeremy, I see you. Brother Jim, Brother Jan, I see you. I see everybody who's on this side of the auditorium. I see everybody who's on this side of the auditorium. Every single one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of God. The Apostle John put it like this in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled, and there was found no place for them. And verse 12 says, I saw the dead, small and great. We sing that song. There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by. And the Apostle John says that when that great day comes, the small and the great will be there. Those that a lot of folks think are the nobodies of life, and those that people think are the somebodies of life, the important people are going to be there. The unimportant people are going to be there. The rich are going to be there. The poor are going to be there. The educated are going to be there. The uneducated are going to be there. It does not matter how you are or where you fit into life. John says, small and great are going to be there. King Jesus put it like this in Matthew chapter 21, verse 31 and following, or Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 and following. When the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered, here are the people, before him shall be gathered all nations. All nations. Oh, we sing that song sometimes. There's a great day coming. A great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. And King Jesus says when that great day comes, whatever nation has ever existed in this world is going to be there for judgment. So it will not matter. You think about the great World Cup soccer matches that are going on right now. It does not matter whether you're from France or whether you're from Spain or whether you're from Argentina or whether you're from Brazil or whether you're from England or whether you're from the United States of America or whether you're from Canada, whether you're from Mexico, whether you're from Russia. It does not matter. Whatever nation has ever been in this world, Jesus says, every nation will be there. In Romans chapter 14, verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, it's not me, Paul says, this is the Lord talking, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Oh, sometimes we sing that song, there's a great day coming, a great day coming, a great day coming by and by. And Paul says when that great day comes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It makes no difference where you live, what you drive, what education you have, how much money you have in the bank. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And the good news is, when you and I stand at the judgment day of God, we can stand there as confident Christians. You don't have to stand there in doubt or worry. You can stand with confidence. We sing about it, don't we? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. In fact, I want you to notice how Paul begins 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we, he doesn't say think. For we doesn't say guess. He doesn't say perhaps. He says, for we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a house of God, or a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You know what Paul is saying? Paul's saying, I know I am saved, and I know heaven is going to be my home. In fact, we love those words of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Remember what the Apostle Paul said? I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. I'm thankful he didn't stop there, aren't you? I'm thankful he didn't stop there. You see, most of us will read that passage and we'll stop right there and we'll say this to ourselves. Here's the guy that was converted to Christianity, and you read through the New Testament, 13 books he was given the privilege to write. This guy started all kinds of churches. This guy baptized who knows how many thousands of people into Christ. He deserves a crown. You know the rest of it? He says, but not to me only. To all them that love His appearing. You know what we say? Are you saved? Well, I hope so. Are you going to heaven? Well, I sure do want to. I'm trying. Well, I'm glad you're trying. But I'm not asking, are you trying? I'm asking tonight, do you know you are saved? And on your way to heaven. You say, how can I know that, preacher? You know that because of the blood of Christ. Here's somebody who walks down this aisle. And tonight they say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm ready to repent of my sins, turn from the error of my way. And tonight, I want to be baptized into Christ. And we take that person into the back and they change into those baptismal garments, and we walk down into the water and we baptize that person, and they come up out of the water. Question: is that person saved or lost? Saved, isn't he? Saved. He is saved. We know why that's true, don't we? Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Absolutely, he's going to heaven. What if he died 30 seconds after his baptism? Saved or lost? You'd say saved, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. Question: what if the guy lives? And he lives 30, 40, 50, 60, 80 years after he's baptized. Is he saved or lost? All these years he's lived with a heart that is humble and obedient and faithful. Here's my question to you. Why should a 30-second Christian have more confidence than somebody who has walked with God every day for 50 years? Why? I don't understand that. The same blood that washed our sins away when we were baptized is the very same blood that the Apostle John promised that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, The blood of Jesus cleanses us from ALL, all sin. I understand there's a condition. The condition is walking in the light, staying faithful, staying close to our God, loving Him, serving Him, honoring Him. I understand that. But the person who does that ought to be able to stand in the very same way that the Apostle Paul did. We know that if this earthly house is dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So who's going to be there? The dead, small and great. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All nations. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And we can stand there with blessed hope. The second thing I want to give you tonight is the place. I want you to notice where we will stand. We must all appear, and here's the place, before the judgment seat of Christ. I think you know this, but let me remind you. Just like Jesus created us, Jesus is going to judge us. You're going to stand before Jesus in the day of judgment. I'm going to stand before Jesus in the day of judgment. And you see, that's a very comforting thought to me. Jesus is on the throne in 2 Corinthians 5. It is the judgment seat of Christ. In John chapter 5, John quotes the words of Jesus. He says, "For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son." Paul preached that same thought in Acts 17, verse 21, or verse 31 rather. In verse 30 he said, "God commands all men everywhere to repent." Why? Because He has appointed a day into which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He has given assurance to all men in that He has raised Him from the dead. Whom did God raise from the dead? He raised His Son. His Son has been ordained by God to judge us in the last day. And so Paul says, we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now I want you to notice how much Paul wanted to be with Christ. Look back at chapter 5 and verse 8. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Have you arrived at that point in your life yet? That you would rather be absent from this body and be with Jesus? I dare say some of you have reached that point. I hope all of us will reach that point. That I'd rather step out of this life and into the next life to be with Jesus. Have you ever been in a situation where you wanted to leave? You just sat there fidgeting, looking at your watch, just ready to leave at the earliest moment? Some of you don't remember this, don't know this about me, but when I attended Lipscomb, I was on their tennis team. And how well I remember sitting in a history class one day. 12 o'clock noon to 1 o'clock, and the tennis match started at 1:30. About 12:30, the professor looked at me and said, "You're not really with us today, are you, Herb? Have you got a tennis match?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, why don't you just go ahead and leave?" And I did. We see that from time to time. We're in situations that would just soon not be there. Our mind's on something else. When the people of the world look at us as Christians, do they see in our body language that we'd rather be with Jesus than to be here? What do our friends and neighbors see in us? There's a story of a missionary that he spent about 20 years on a foreign mission work. Been there preaching the gospel. He and his wife were on a flight coming back to the United States, flying into Washington, D.C. On the same plane, there was a government official. When the government official stepped off the plane, there was a band there from one of the armed services units that began playing, welcoming him back to the States. The guy's family was there. Other government officials were there to welcome him home. The missionary and his wife stepped off the plane. Nobody from the church there. None of their family was there. The preacher looked over at his wife. He said, "You know, it's kind of sad. We've been gone from the States for 20 years, given our lives to serve the Lord as missionaries, and there's nobody here to welcome us home." His wife looked over at him and said, "But honey, we're not home yet. We're not home yet." Folks, Woodbury is not home to me. I hope Nashville is not home to you. I hope you really believe heaven is home. That we're just strangers and pilgrims going through this life. And Paul says in verse 8, "I'd rather be absent from this body." This body is just dirt from the ground. Just dust. From dust we're made, to dust we're going to return. Paul says, "I'd rather be absent from this and be home with Jesus." Look at verse 9. "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." I like to please people. I think most of us like to please other folks. I want to please my elders at Woodbury. I want to please the membership at Woodbury. I want to please my wife, Ann. I think you husbands can understand that. But are you listening? Even if I displease everybody else, there's one person that I always want to please. And that's my Jesus. I want to try to do what's right and honor what's right and live what's right and say what's right because I want to please my Jesus. And that's what Paul says. More than anything in this world, I want to be accepted of God. It's okay if the elders accept me and the deacons accept me. Paul says it's even okay if the elders fire me. His attitude was, even if everybody else is against me, I want to be accepted of God. And here's the reason why. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's one more word that I want you to see from 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. And that is the purpose. The purpose. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Another translation says that everyone may receive what is due him. Who are the people? We must all. What is the place? The judgment seat of Christ. Why? to receive what is due him. Question. What is due you? Some of us will say, Brother Herb, I'm a sinner. I know that. I am too. What is due us as sinners is H-E-L-L, hell. That's what we really deserve. But I'm thankful tonight that God has given us mercy. And God has provided grace. And God has provided salvation through His Son Jesus. Because of the goodness of God, I ask you tonight, have you accepted the salvation that is in Christ? Have you been born again of the water and the Spirit? Have you yet made that good confession that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He died for me. Have you been buried with Him in baptism so that you can be raised to walk in a new life, the life lived in Christ? What is due you? Will Jesus say to you with a great big smile on His face, "Come, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world"? Or will He say to you with tears streaming down His face, "Depart. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels"? I'll tell you what scares me. We talked about this both Sunday nights and last night. We're just one heartbeat, one breath away from judgment. From eternity. I know. You and I think our heart's going to go right on ticking. We're young. We're paying our bills. We're making lots of money. Our kids are okay. Life's just going to go on. But it's not. The certainty of death. Talked about that Sunday night. And one step, one heartbeat, one breath transitions you from life into eternity. To appear before the great white throne. Do we have some people here tonight who need to be saved? I want to encourage you tonight to step out for Jesus. Whether tonight you need to come and participate in that new birth to come into the family of God, or whether tonight as a Christian you need to repent and turn your life back to God. Whatever your need, would you come right now while we stand and while we sing?
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross?